Revelation chapter 9. Let's start in verse 20. Revelation chapter 9, verse 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. That's the foolishness of idols. If you recall, Brother Zhang, who's in China, one of our missionaries, said they're still worshiping idols. It's not only there, though, but it's in many countries in this world, like India. They worship idols. And this is an aspersion to that. But look at the next verse now. This is where I was headed. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Would you have any idea what sorceries refers to there? It refers to pharmakeia. That's the underlying word. You know where we get the word pharmacy from? From that word. What is that about? It's about drugs. They repented not of their pharmakeias, of their drugs. And this nation is being swept by it now, and it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. Is that the only place it mentions that? Not at all. Look at Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in what? The lake of fire, of course, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. They're sorcerers again. That's the same word there. What is a sorcerer? Witchcraft. What is witchcraft? Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. So it's rebellion. And if you know anything about what witches do, they use drugs. They use sorcery. They call upon evil spirits. And pharmakeia, referring to drugs, is partly what that's about. Is that the only place that mentions it? No. Look at 18:23 in Revelation. These are all things towards the end time. Revelation 18, what did I say? 23. Look at the last phrase. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. See, that's witchcraft. Witchcraft is from demons. And nations are being deceived by all these drugs. All these drugs coming across the border. You know, President Trump mentions this quite often. The reason I want to build a wall is to prevent all the drugs from coming in the United States. And everybody, you can't do that. You got to love them. Let them come in. Do what they want to do. Sorceries, witchcraft, pharmakeia. Is that the only place? Look at Galatians 5:20. This is important for us to understand where we are in the timeline of this dispensation when things are going to be drawing to a close. Galatians 5, and Pat went over this with the ladies a few years ago, and she's teaching the ladies' class, but walking in the Spirit is what this is about. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, made revealed, which are these, adultery, fornication again, remember this is one of the themes in 1 Thessalonians, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, there it is, witchcraft. Same word again. Works of the flesh. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Lost people, millions upon millions in this country now. You know, Jesus calls it apistis. Means those of little faith. And when he comes back, there will be little faith on the face of the earth. And that's what we're seeing. I am concerned beyond belief about these things. I told you last week also about deceit. And that was my concern towards the end of the age. Drugs cause you to be deceived about reality. And is there any place in the Bible that tells us that deceit will be a major problem towards the end, would you think? Or is this just something I pull up out of the air? It's not. Look at Matthew verse or chapter 24 with me. I know you're doing a lot of walking in the good book this morning, but I think we need to. Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is Jesus' description of the end of the age. Do you remember that? The disciples ask in verse number 33, I believe it is, yeah. So, no, they asked, now learn a parable of the fig tree, which is, hold up a minute, I'm in the wrong place. Chapter 24 and verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Of course, that was done in 70 A.D., so Jesus spoke the truth, didn't he? When Titus came marching into Jerusalem, the Roman general who became emperor, he did that. Now look at verse 3. The disciple said, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? There it is, thy coming, he's coming, and the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man, what? Deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall, what? Deceive many, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet, for nation shall rise against nation. I looked up how many wars are in the world right now. There's so many, it took page after page after page. Every continent, essentially in the world right now, has a war going on or some battle taking place. Page after page. I could not believe it. Africa, South America, Central America, over in the Philippines, Iraq, you know, just anywhere you want to name. Look at Korea, North and South, for example. Wars everywhere. So nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows, like a woman going into labor. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall do what? Betray one another, deceive one another, and hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall do what? Deceive many. And because of iniquity, how many of you really know what iniquity is? Is it just sin? No, it's self. Exaltation. Exaltation of self. Now, I could prove that to you in Isaiah 53 and Matthew 7. We won't go there right now. Got a lot I want to cover. In verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, this is important because in 2 Thessalonians, we're going to talk about the Antichrist. And this is what Jesus was referring to here. We'll see that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. This will be the mid-trib point. That's very clear from Daniel 9, verse 27, or 25, 6, and 7. When Daniel described the things coming in the end, the 70 weeks assigned to Israel. How many of you know about that? Does everybody know about the 70 weeks and could tell me what it all means and where we get the 70 weeks and where we are in the cycle? Looks like you may not know. Turn to Daniel chapter 9. Because it's important for you to understand where we are in the cycle. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Daniel chapter 9. And why am I doing this? Because when we get on into 2 Thessalonians, we want to deal even more with the Antichrist. But in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel speaks about the 70 weeks, verse 24 of Daniel chapter 9. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the what? The transgression, the sin in the world. And to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity. This selfism that we've gotten into. By the way, there's now a diagnosis given by psychiatrists called selfitis. It's so bad around the world. Did you know that? Another category in psychological problems called selfitis. You know what it is? It's just sin of exaltation of self above all other things. You're whatever you think is right and superior to the words of God. Anyway, in verse 24 there, by the way, the first three are negative here. These are very definite points. Look at that again. Upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, that's one, that's negative. To make an end of sins, which is negative. To make reconciliation for iniquity. That's three things there. And there's six things here in this verse. Six is the number of man in Scripture. And to bring in everlasting righteousness, that's positive. And to seal up the vision and prophecy of Daniel, that's positive. That's to finish it. And to anoint the most holy. And who is the most holy? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy One. Now, verse 25. So there's 70 weeks assigned to whom? Israel. In verse 25, we find out that there will be a certain number of weeks, and then there will be a break. So let's look at that. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 80 and 2 weeks. How many weeks is that? 80 and 7. Is 67, and two more is 69. So 69 weeks. Now, how do we know a week here refers to 7 years? It's in the Scripture. I don't have time to take you there now because I want to cover a lot this morning. It's from Sabbath. But it can also mean a day, a week, a month, or what have you, but the Scripture makes it clear, and also from the events happening, it can't be anything other than years. So it's 7 years per week, and 7 times 69 brings you up 483 years. And it says, and it goes on, and the street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. The only Scripture that refers to this is in Nehemiah chapter 2. it tells us, and that begins the clock for this reported in Daniel. And it's, and I can't begin to tell you, and again, one day maybe we'll have time to do it. It's absolutely precise to the day what transpires. Verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself and the people of the prince. Now, who is this? The Messiah. Who's that? That's Jesus. Shall be cut off. He shall be crucified, you see. And the people of the prince. Who is the prince? It's the Antichrist. Who's the people of the Antichrist? It's Rome. The prince shall come and shall destroy the city. 70 A.D. And the sanctuary and the end thereof shall be with a flood. That's the remaining dispensation since 70 A.D. Flood of problems, earthquakes, as Jesus said in Matthew 24. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. And then what happens? In verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant for many for 1 week. That's that 7-year tribulation period, Daniel's 70th week, that he's talking about here. So we've had 69 weeks. We're about to approach. And then there was a big gap in between. There are many gaps in Scripture, by the way. I counted them one time. There were about 32, 34 gaps. Where God, who I told you before, sees everything in the present. So when he speaks and gives these words, it's as if he's seeing everything at one time. And sometimes when he gives a phrase, then there's a gap, maybe 2,000 years. And then something else is going to happen. And it says here, in the midst of the week, that's the middle of the week, what's going to happen? He, the prince, who is the Antichrist, who will be revealed as soon as the tribulation starts, as soon as the church is raptured out of here, then the Antichrist is revealed. And what we read over here in Matthew 24, look at this now. In the midst of the week, the Antichrist shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. The abomination of desolation, which is what Christ called it. He shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. That's the desolate, the unbelievers. God's wrath is going to be horrible. After that midweek, the first half of the tribulation is the tribulation. That's what we call it. It is a 3.5-year period, and you can see that in Daniel 12. It's exactly 1,260 days, and then there's another 45 days. What is that 45 days? Well, the Scripture, turn back to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. I want you to see this morning because I want you to understand how close we are. Jesus says, you'll know when he's coming. Matthew 24, look at verse 26. He said, remember a lot of antichrists will come. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, that's Christ, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. That's deception. You see again, deceiving. There will be a great deal of deceiving, deceit in the end, not only by governments, but by individuals. And then in verse 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You remember that? For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. That is a reference to Rome. You know what the symbol of Rome was during that time? The eagle. That's what they had on their poles as they went to war. They always had an eagle on top. So during the tribulation, the Antichrist, which comes out of the Roman Empire, will be part of that whole desolation thing. The Antichrist, the desolation. So Jesus is telling you, you'll know when he's coming, but when is he coming? He's coming in that 45 day, right at the end of the 1260 days, 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, the second half. He's coming, and then we have 45 days. Book of Daniel tells you that in chapter 12. 45, what's going to take place in that 45 days? The earth is going to be renewed. It's going to be a new earth. And Jesus is going to set up his millennial kingdom. But the scripture is absolutely precise in the number of days, the number of years, and this whole thing. You must understand that. The scripture is not lying. And as I told you, deception is the key to understanding the end of this age. Not only what I showed you here on that little picture about that's the spirit of Antichrist, by the way. And 1 John talks about the Antichrist significantly, does it not? Mentions the Antichrist quite often, the spirit of Antichrist. It's in the world now and getting worse. Why am I going through all this morning? Because so many people still do not have an idea. They're eating and drinking and marrying, as in the days of Noah, and it's coming. You must be ready. You must be sanctified, which is why I went through 1 Thessalonians and pointed out those things to you. The major themes. However, I goofed. I missed one. And I apologize to you for that, but I didn't see it until I went back to the underlying text. There is another one that links also to the gospel. And where we wound up last time when we finished the class, we were talking about the scriptures in 1 Thessalonians that referred to the gospel. So let's finish that, and then I'm going to tell you about one that I missed. And you don't see it unless you go back to the underlying text. So, in 1 Thessalonians, if you'll turn there now. That was all preamble, by the way. Because in 1 Thessalonians, what is the key verse in 1 Thessalonians? Verse 17 of chapter 4. That's the central verse of 1 Thessalonians. And it says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." That's the central theme of 1 Thessalonians. Just turn over to 2 Thessalonians for a moment. And look at the central verse of 2 Thessalonians. This is talking about the second coming of Christ. In 2 Thessalonians now, in chapter 2, here's the key verse in that book. Verse number 3 in 2nd chapter of 2 Thessalonians. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." That's the Antichrist, the man of sin. And how is he empowered? He's empowered by Satan. How do I know that? Revelation 13 tells you that he is empowered by Satan. Now back in 1 Thessalonians, I'm skipping around a little bit because you have to understand all this together, I believe. In verse 17, I wanted you to... Does rapture occur in the Bible, the word rapture? No. Doesn't occur anywhere. Does Trinity occur anywhere in the Bible? No. They're theological terms. So where do we get rapture from? Caught up there in verse 17. Caught up comes from a word which means caught away, falling away, even if you would. But you got to be careful. This is referring to the rapture. Some people in 2 Thessalonians verse number 3 that we just read says, except there come a falling away first, believe that refers to the rapture. I'm going to show you, I don't believe that. And that's one of my mentors, by the way, who believes that. He has as many hours in classroom Greek that it takes to graduate from college. You know, if you take 15 hours a semester for 4 years, you're talking about 120 hours of credit in order to graduate from college. By the way, the pastor is lacking, what was it, half a credit, pastor, of graduating from Truett McConnell. Then they threw a curveball at him, and he had many other things on his plate, so he didn't get his degree. But he was given a cap and a gown. He just missed it by half a credit. But I'm telling you this because the man who... So I'm not saying he's wrong. It's just that I don't believe what he teaches is right, though he's one of my mentors. And I'm going to tell you why. And why do I say all these things to you? Get your attention. Make you pay attention here this morning. So, rapture comes from raptore, which is a Latin word. It comes from the Latin Vulgate. What's the Latin Vulgate? It's the translation done by Jerome that the Catholic Church uses. And we adapted from that rapture. It's okay. It's a good word. It means the same thing, caught up. But you just need to be aware of these things. It's not in the Scripture, but that's what it means in verse 17. Caught up, raptured, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's the first phase of the second coming. Okay? Now turn over to 2 Thessalonians for a minute because I want to clear this up for you. Let no man deceive you. That's chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you. There it is again. Deceit, you see. By any means, for that day shall not come. What day is he talking to? The rapture. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. See the thee there? That's an article. That's what I missed when I went through 1 Thessalonians. An article is very important, and I'm going to point some things out to you. But by the coming, that's a Granville Sharp rule, which means this refers to both the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Gathering unto him when he comes in the air. And therefore, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. Now that's added by the translators, it's in italics. Except there come a falling away first. Harpazo is where that comes from. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So the rapture occurs, and then the Antichrist is revealed. That's what I'm telling you, okay? Now, all these things are really important, and I'm going to finish. I'm jumping around a little bit, but I want to put it all together for you, I hope. Now, in 1 Thessalonians, look at what we didn't finish up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God. That's very important there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. We're finishing up the verses that refer to gospel, and then I'm going to show you what I missed. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Remember, that was one of the things set aside, hagios, that you should abstain from fornication. What is the will of God? We've talked about it often. By the way, I brought this little book. Pat and I went to the Word of Life in Scroon, New York. When I retired, we hooked up a trailer, and took off. I just needed to get some rest. I was exhausted. We went up to Screwin Lake to the Word of Life. And you've all heard of the Word of Life, where they teach young people the principles of Scripture. And Dr. Lehman Strauss was there. Lehman was an evangelist, well-known around the country. He was booked 2 and 3 years ahead, but he was teaching there. And this is the book of Daniel, by the way, that he wrote. He wrote a bunch of books. But one of the things he said during that meeting at Screwin Lake, when Pat and I were there, living in our little travel trailer, just getting away, he asked the same question I just asked you. What is the will of God? And you know, I was sitting there, I said, what is it? And then he said, the will of God is for you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, how do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? And he always used the King James Bible, by the way. Here it is. Jesus Christ is on every page. And it's the will of God that you know Him. Not only the types, which are an illustration of the antitype. That's the final product, you might say. The illustration is the type in the Old Testament. And there are a lot of types of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, of course, the revelation of those types is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. That's who we look to. That's who is and gave us the will of God in this book. So in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, this is the will of God. It's the good tidings. It's the gospel. Even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. Look at that verse. And we're just finishing up verses that refer to the gospel. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. What is the word of the Lord? It's the good news. It's the good tidings. We mentioned that last week. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, there it is again, shall not what precede. That's what the word means there, prevent. It's an old English word. Precede them which are asleep. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Children of the light. What's the light in Scripture? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word. There's the light. Where else is it the light? John 8, things verse 12. I am the light of the world. This is referring, of course, not only to Jesus again, because He's on every page in your Bible, but to this book. Here's your light. Here's your discernment for life. Here's your discernment for what's happening as we approach the end of this age, as I told you. Very important. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But let us who are of the day, what's the day? It's the light. So the light of what? The light of this book. This is the gospel, the good news. Be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. What is our blessed hope? Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of our, of the, I'm going to mess it up. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of our great God, the Savior of the world. No, it doesn't say "and the Savior." It says "the great God and Savior of the world, Jesus Christ." Now, I mess that up a little bit, but again, that's the article there, okay, that links those two things together, that Jesus is the blessed hope, He's the Savior, He's our God. Very important that you do that. Now, what did I miss? Let me pull it out. What I discovered as I looked at the underlying text again is that most of the occurrences of faith in 1 Thessalonians is preceded by the article, the faith. I did tell you last week that we are to earnestly contend for the faith. It has the article there. There is no A in Greek. If you find an A in the King James Bible, it's supplied by the translators, which is for our understanding. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't want anybody to leave here and say, well, he said there was something wrong with the King James Bible. I did not, and I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the article in Greek is critically important. Now, look with me at 1 Thessalonians 1, 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, that's the gospel, not only in Macedonia, but in Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward. Do you know what's there that they don't translate, which if you didn't look at the text, you wouldn't know it? It's ha pistis. Hey pistis. Hey is the article the. It's so in every place, you're the faith to Godward. The faith refers again to the body of teachings in the Scripture, the doctrine throughout the Bible. Now, that's not the only place. Look at 1 Thessalonians 3, 2. And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ to establish you and comfort you concerning your the faith is what's there. And again, it's not translated, but what is saying there to comfort you concerning the doctrine, the whole doctrine that you find throughout the whole Bible that's taught in a church. Now, I'm not going to go through all of them because I don't have time, but that's what I missed. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 verses that the thee doesn't appear in the English text, but is there underneath, meaning again the doctrine of the whole Bible. And I had missed that. And when you speak of the doctrine in the whole Bible, again, you're talking about the gospel, however. So really, nothing is left out, nothing is missing. Now, one last thing. What are the Baptist distinctives? Why do we do this? I mentioned it last week. I wonder if anybody went home and looked them up. Baptist distinctives. What does the B stand for in Baptist? Our sole authority is the Bible. What does A stand for? B-A, autonomy of the local church. What does P stand for? Priesthood of believers. What does the T stand for? B-A-P-T, two ordinances. What does the I stand for? Individual soul liberty. It is your right, but your responsibility to know the Scriptures yourself. S, is it? We're up to? What is it? I'll come back to it. What's the next T? Two offices in the church, deacon and pastor. And S on the Baptist is saved membership of the church. Those are Baptist distinctives. Let's see, I can look it up for you. Two ordinances, individual soul liberty. Did I say that? Separation is the S there. Separation. two offices of the local church and save church membership. I printed them out again. I'm going to pass them out again. You can take them home and look at them. But these are the Baptist distinctives. Caleb, do that for me. I've passed this one out before, but we'll let you have it again. Okay? All right. Brother David, would you close in prayer for us, brother?